Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning, second day of August, top of the hour, which means good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to everybody out there out the Supernatural Highway in Covington.
Yeah. Went out east on I-20. I was kind of out that way this week. Didn't go all the way out there, but kind of out that way.
Noel and I were talking about Covington earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a nice conversation about Covington.
Out there, Newton.
Yeah, man.
And Newton.
Our buddy Jim Hancock used to have bench warmers out there. Mm-hmm. And listen, the Mystic Cafe. Mm-hmm. You go see Angie out there. Tell Angie that Greg sent you out there. We're talking about you this morning on the radio. What was that? Vampire Diaries was shot out there, and they used to use that place. I think the
in the heat of the night.
Oh, well, that. By the way, it's funny you
by
bring that
way,
up.
By the way,
that premiered today. On this date,
the movie of
In the
TV
Heat of the Night,
the movie.
With Sidney Poitier, yeah, and Rod Steiger, who looks just like Carol O'Connor in that movie, for whatever reason. I just noticed that. That premiered this day, and they shot that out in Covington.
Okay.
And boy, talk about bringing it full circle. Today would have been Carol O'Connor's birthday.
Man.
It just happened. Carol O'Connor shared a birthday, Archie Bunker for the rest of you, with James Baldwin. James Baldwin's birthday is today. If y'all don't know who James Baldwin is, you need to go Google him up.
Look it up.
Sixth Sense premiered today. That movie. I see dead people.
Yeah.
That movie of Bruce Willis and him. We're going to talk sports here, but I want to just, again, wrap your mind around this part of this particular sport that's gone. It's still here, parts of it, but it's not like it used to be. And not that it was better then, it's just gone. And here's what I'm getting at. It was on this date that Ricky Henderson. Now we just left. We're a 9-iron away from the All-Star game, right? And talking about the home runs that the what's that guy in Seattle and Judge and all these guys got 30 whatever, nearly 40 home runs. Ricky Henderson stole his 100th base on August 2nd.
Yeah.
And his 100th. On August 2nd.
Yeah.
This was in 82. Then he did it the next year.
He didn't have them big old pizza box bases. No,
that that's now, right. Now, he did not.
They're doing that, right?
Ricky got his 100th steal on this date.
It was so much more a part of the game. It was so much more a part of the game then, and he mastered it. And so, that's the thing. It's something that's almost been taken out of the game in so many ways.
But there were a lot of dudes that ran. I mean,
that was a part of your strategy, and you also would have sometimes a pinch runner. Remember Ron Washington? That's how he made his living as a player. Yeah. Was as a pinch runner. The extra relief pitcher did away with that. Do you want to have an extra relief pitcher? Or you want somebody that's going to be fast and run in the late innings? We've gone for the extra pitcher.
But every team had speed at second base and shortstop. Remember that?
Yep.
And then them dudes, maybe an outfielder here or there. I think about those old Cardinals teams.
Oh, that's a track meet. That was a relay team.
Bate McBride and all that. Ricky and what they did with the A's. It's just that part of the game is gone. Now, yes, other parts have come in and they've made it a little bit different. And you talk about those position players up the middle. I can't remember last time somebody made it big that wasn't 6 feet or near 6 feet. At shortstop or second base. So, anyway, Ricky did that on this day, and I just want to make sure I put that up there.
Fantastic.
On the second day of August.
It is.
Listen, we got this
don't
game.
Feel like it outside.
No, it don't. It really doesn't.
We does got this not feel like it. But we welcome the break because we know the 90s will be back. But we welcome the break for a couple of days here. It's good. Because not just 90s, but the 97s, 98s, and 99s.
You're talking about the temperature, not the
temperature.
Years.
Talking about the temperature.
Look at the folks' wardrobes out there. They think it's here.
Hey.
We are going to be at training camp all next week.
Okay.
When I say all, with the exception of Thursday and Friday. But we're going to be there Monday. We're going to be there Tuesday. We're going to be there Wednesday. Talking the morning shift, talking about the steakhouse, and Andy and Randy. Dukes and Bell are going to be at the Hooters at Mall of Georgia.
That's where you go after camp.
And then
after camp, you go by and hang out with them.
And then on Wednesday, they're going to be at Buffalo's, mm-hmm. Buffalo's Cafe in Flowery Branch. All right, so we got this game going on today, tonight.
Yeah.
Braves, Cincinnati,
mm-hmm.
at Bristol. All right, that's cool. And we have seen configurations altered. They were just sitting there talking about this, and I had to pull the lights out of that place. To make sure they got a part of a building had to be
removed, and that all has to be back because they're going to have a race there in 6 weeks.
Yep,
that's the thing. I mean, a time lapse watching how they do that probably is going to be
taking
amazing
down
to watch.
It's probably going to be easier than setting up.
I don't know.
Yeah, because you're just ripping it up then.
Well, to put things back that you had, you know.
Well, to build a building, you're right. That's going to take a minute.
You got to reconfigure that building and put it back up there. So they're going to make history, going to do something historic tonight, something we haven't seen before, which is going to be great. And then they got to resume doing what they normally do in about 6 weeks. NASCAR is going to come back through there for their second event of the year. But, I think the whole thing we talk about, also the thing I've always heard about racing up there is the traffic, getting in and out of that joint.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to talking about having over 85,000 people tonight to watch this. I don't know how many people are going to start arriving. I'm sure people are already out there, probably in some parts of it.
Well, they know how to tailgate there, don't they?
They really do. Well, you know what? You wonder how that's configured, how this new thing has affected that configuration too, even for the parking on the outside. And like I said, that's the one about the logistics. Anything when something like this happens, you think logistics and getting people in and out. The racing fans are used to coming up there. There are people who come up there every time they race. They know back roads. They know different things to take for traffic. These folk coming up here now really don't know that. You got a lot of folks from Atlanta who are driving up there. I've talked with a lot of people who are going up there for the first time. They just want to go up and the Braves are playing. They want to go and support the team, and they want to see it. I hope they're ready for what they're going to meet.
Pack your what?
Pack your patience and a whole lot else. You might want to pack some pajamas and your toothbrush.
Other thing too, and then getting the teams in there, too.
Well, that's just it. And then not the mostest of hotel – mostest is not a word. It's not the most of hotel space in that area, right? Because you think your nearest hotels some folks will be over in Asheville.
Beautiful locations there, right? Isn't that where the Biltmore is?
Biltmore, that's nice.
Never been there.
That'd be a little pricey. You can't stay in Biltmore. That's a tourist. You walk through that, you don't stay in there. You can stay in some of the other places around there. But, there's a lot of hotels in that area. There's some in Boone, where Appalachian State is. There's some hotels in that area. So all those places are going to be full this weekend. With fans going up, they're just looking for a place to.
What else is there to do?
Because you don't just drive in and go to the race and drive back home. I mean, that's the thing.
So what's to do out there? If I'm going, I say, all right, I'm getting in the car. I got to go up and cover this break.
Outlets,
game. Malls.
Yeah, we got outlets.
That's it.
I mean, if I'm going anywhere through South Carolina right now, I'm going to pick up baskets of peaches.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But you got things like that the areas are known for. That you would go in and enjoy.
What's the food and drink up in that area?
Ooh, it's probably something with some X's on the side of the shop.
South Carolina area?
What's that?
South Carolina area?
No, South Carolina,
North Carolina. We're talking about going up in the mountains. Trying
to give me some gasoline.
Either Squirt or Chiawine.
Oh, there you
talk. Boy, you talking about definitely. Somebody who bought some Squirt.
You're right, Chiawine. But you're talking about what do you drink up there? And I say something probably on a jug with some X's on the side of it.
You get a little something.
You blow into it at the end there with the band like Briscoe Darling?
Yeah, man. You get a little homebrew. I'm sure you can find some of that. But I mean, that's the thing. Remember, Bristol sits in two states. Part of it's Tennessee, part of it's Virginia. The city of Bristol is in two states. So,
how does that work for taxes?
I don't know how you do that, but it depends on where you live, what part of you live in, or what part you work in. It could be if you're living on the Tennessee side, but you work in the Virginia side, you know. But that's the thing. That's the other thing I know about that area. I've never been to a race there. I always wanted to. It's associated with tragedy. I think that was where Alan Kowicki was flying into a plane crash that claimed his life, and he was the Winston Cup champion at the time. But it's known for tremendous racing, for there to be a place that's a short track that's like a big bowl, and that is banked. There's a competition is always fierce. There usually is out of nighttime. They have a nighttime race there, but I haven't been, so I know people who are going. You know, like I said, all I always hear about is the traffic. I always hear traffic is really challenging at Bristol.
Can I make a confession to you?
No, go ahead.
I have never had moonshine before. Never drank it. I've smelled it. And the reason I didn't drink it is because to me, in remembering that time when I smelled it, it smelled like turpentine to me.
Okay.
And so I didn't drink it.
Okay.
But there are people, and I don't know.
They do a lot of different things with it. Now
this was up in Wisconsin.
Don't make me be an expert on this.
Well, you brought it up.
I'm not an expert on this, no. But I've known some people I've gone to that's, hey, I got a little something. I got a little something from
have you been home. With people who got drunk on it?
No, but I've known some people who had some, and I would say, hey, I got a little something. The guys from down home sent me a little something. You want it? Nothing. I want to go out and just, hey, yeah, pull me a big one. And I'm like, no, man.
Had some relatives that went down south from mm-hmm. Chicago mm-hmm. and then brought it back with them. And then there was an event outside Milwaukee, and that's where I was at. So it wasn't, they didn't like do it up in Wisconsin. Right. They brought it from somewhere down south. That's what everybody says up in Chicago. We going down south.
Yep.
We got to do our thing. And then they come back with whatever.
Come back with a little bit of that.
But it smelled like turpentine to me.
Ooh.
And I wasn't having no parts of it.
Wow.
So, and by the way, we should tell the audience, we're not interested in you helping us out with this.
Oh, no, no. We're not soliciting.
If you're making it in the backyard.
We're not soliciting at all. No. That's what you're doing.
I don't want none.
Do you.
Exactly. All right, so where are you putting an event?
Braves and the Reds tonight.
We've been dancing around this. What event are you putting in a location that isn't where it normally performs at?
Yeah.
A horse race at Daytona or Indy? That's what popped into my mind first. Now, they'll never move the Preakness, which is the longest of the three races.
Well, they've been racing it somewhere else because they've been doing
some
upgrades at actually, you know, at the racetrack. They had to run it at Saratoga, I think, this year. Those facilities set up for other events if you want to do something like that. There is an athletic director who I won't name who once had the idea of playing football on the infield grass at Echo Park. To me, that would be kind of cool.
And
the thing, what you do is you invite schools from places that have racetracks. You invite a team from Talladega. You invite a high school team from Daytona.
Okay.
You'd invite a high school team and play on that infield grass. That grass that the driver always tears up after they win, and they always slide the car across there and then chip it up right there because they won, they get to do whatever they want to do, right? But that's grass. That's more than 100 yards right there of grip because it's all the way down the front stretch where the pit is.
And build some stands on the track area?
And build some stands on the track area and have like a Speedway high school
classic.
Football classic. Ooh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Got to get a whole lot of permissions from people.
This
is what we asked. We wanted to, you know, something out of the norm.
We already got high schools coming to our facility for their graduations. Already, so I'm just throwing something out there. You know, I don't want Brandon Hutchins to call me and say, "What you talk about that for?" But it doesn't have to be here in Atlanta. But at any place, that would be a cool way to start the season.
Is there a place where you could hold the Super Bowl other than one of the NFL stadiums? I'm just thinking, you know, out loud here.
I can't think of any.
So that's going to have to continue to rotate the way it is.
Yeah.
So. Anyway,
What you got?
And this is probably a tough one, but imagine if you were able to put a game 7 in a stadium instead of an arena. An NBA Finals game 7.
Well, San Antonio did that.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right? They played at the Alamo. Are you saying a stadium, not like a basket, like a...
But you said just for game 7, not for the whole series.
Yeah, I'm saying just for game
7.
You're
going to play the other 6 games in your usual place, and if you have a game 7... That would be a big logistical thing.
But they played football where San Antonio played, right? That Alamo Dome?
I think they did. I mean, they did. Yeah. We kind of did the same thing here during the Olympics. They played basketball over there.
Right, yeah, it was during the Olympics, right. All right, well, we're still thinking about that. But up next, we got Miles Garrett's going to join us. We are going to talk about these Falcons and what's going on at camp, what we've seen, what he's seen, and what to expect around the corner. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. See, that's what En Vogue stole.
What's that?
Yeah, whoa, 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 whoa. I told y'all. You stole that.
You think so?
Yeah. You don't hear nobody else say that except Ohio players and what's her name from En Vogue. She, whoa, 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 whoa. Noelle will get it, too. She'll play it. Sam and Greg, Sports all Radio, right. 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com is a website where you hear all the interviews. And I could just imagine him right now pop locking to this song, our own Miles Garrett from Fox 5.
I don't know about that. we're not going to do that to him, are we?
Why not? He's enjoying himself. He's in the car right now. He got his head going. He's driving, so he's probably doing a little bit of the snake.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Miles, good morning, man. What's going on, Miles?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
We are doing fine. All right, we've got about a week and a half under your belt of going out and watching this Falcons. Now, last time we talked to you last week, and by the way, thank you for your contributions last week. Yep. Sam and I were out at Flowery Branch. You were out there on the field and conducting interviews and doing this and that. You made some time for us. But when we talked to you then, it's a whole lot of, well, it's too early to come to any kind of conclusion about this, that, or the other thing. I'm watching this and watching that. And so now another week has passed. How are you feeling about what you're seeing out there, and where's your focus been?
Yeah, and to a certain degree, I still think it's a little early, but obviously I think now there is just a little more we have to work with, right? I think the biggest thing we can take away right now, at least the biggest thing that's stood out to me, is James Pierce Jr. I mean, everyone's talking about this guy. He's a really hard guy to miss, but seeing some of these 11-on-11 type drills where they're actually going up against each other, body on body, the pads are on, this is a guy that's really, really standing out to me, and I think really to coaches as well. Raheem Morris has mentioned him, Jesse Bates, you know, some players on the team have mentioned him as well, just kind of being a guy that even has a veteran presence for as young as he is, and obviously that's a really encouraging sign. Him and Matthew Bergeron had a little bit of a scuffle a few days ago, but they've worked through that, which is good.
That made a lot of
noise. We don't want to see too many fights there at camp, but it seems like they have figured that out. But other than that, I mean, I'd say that's the biggest takeaway thus far. Other than that, you know, you've got some position battles. I'm excited to see Xavier Watts working with the first team back there at the safety position. I want to see what he can possibly do. Obviously, I want to continue to see the progression out there with Michael Penix Jr. He didn't have a great day at practice yesterday, but again, it's one practice that's going to come and go. But Drake London, you know, has had a bad practice here or there, but looks like the type of guy that we want him to be, that elite number one wide receiver. And then, of course, Kyle Pitts, who's a guy that really has had that sort of, you know, he looks good in training camp. You know, what's going to happen this season? I feel like that's happened with him the last few seasons, but hopefully this is the year he puts it all together.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline. Always great to catch up with this guy, Miles Garrett from Fox 5. And he is social. Always find him at Miles Garrett TV, at Miles Garrett TV. Miles, while I was out there, we talked about Darnell Mooney being on his sideline for a time, an opportunity, a window of opportunity for some receivers. And one of the guys we got a chance to talk with was Chris Blair, who's really distinguished himself as a special teamer last year. But when you get a chance to get in the rotation and get some catches, he shows he can get it done, and he's excited about the opportunities he's getting right now.
Yeah, I think I was right there with you when we were interviewing him, you know, really talking about the fact that, hey, you know, if you want to see the field, special teams obviously is a big thing, but blocking, that's another big thing as well, especially with how this offense is set up, the two elite backs that you have. If you block really well, you're going to end up on the field at some point or another, and having him get those reps. And really last year, he looked good in the preseason. He had some good reps, some good game action that he was able to put forth there. So obviously with the absence of Darnell Mooney, you know, when he comes back, Mooney is going to be in your starting lineup as your number two wide receiver. That's pretty much penciled in. But outside of that, this is great, great timing for those guys to potentially earn their right on this roster spot, because those receivers, that's where you earn your spot, is on special teams with blocking. You know, Casey Washington, Michael Penix Jr.'s one of his favorite guys last year, you know, coming through the draft together. This is a time for him to make some noise. And some of those guys really low on the depth chart to potentially put a name for themselves, in, whether it's on the Falcons or some other team. You know, they can really make a name for themselves right here in the preseason, you know, with the absence of Darnell Mooney. Again, hoping that injury doesn't take too long. We've been told it probably won't go into the regular season, but probably up until the regular season.
You guys know one of the more frustrating things about training camp when it comes to a football team is when we talk about the particulars of special teams. You guys brought that up. You don't know until the game happens what the kicker's going to look like, what the punter's going to look like, what, you know, returners are going to look like. You can't get any idea how healthy Koo is until he gets into a game. And not just necessarily over at Mercedes-Benz. Get outside in the elements, cold weather, things like that. And again, as you evaluate this team, Miles, how much time do you spend looking at what's going on with special teams?
No, and I'm actually really, really glad you brought that up, Greg, because that is one of the biggest position battles that is a very, very real position battle right now between Lenny Krieg and Younghoe Koo. You know, going into this, you would expect that Young Weku has the edge, that they're bringing in some competition to kind of keep him on point. But I'd say right now it's 50-50 between the two, at least from that perspective. If we're talking about special teams, the kicking position, both of them, I think, are right about the same as far as the amount of field goals they've made and missed right now. The other day when I was out there, they were both about 4 for 5. They both missed from beyond 50. Young Weku had a better day of practice yesterday, but it's been funny. I mean, both those guys have kind of been flip-flopping at who has the better practice. But both of them look very good, and that competition is very real. So, you know, to answer your question in regards to special teams, it starts right there at kicker, and it's going to go beyond that for all the other guys that want to try to make this team, because like we said before, that is where you earn your spot.
Yep. Might as well. I was out there this week and on the same day you were, and we got a chance to talk with Leonard Floyd about him being in the mix with this team, of course, and the young edge players and the role that he gets to play with this team now. Obviously a tremendous resource for them, but looks like he's genuinely enjoying the role that he's settling into possibly with this team.
Yeah, I think so. And I do think the element of, you know, being back at home and, you know, I've said this before on the show, you know, I think the pressure is off a little bit on some of these guys to perform. And that's not to say that they aren't expected to perform, but with the amount of bodies that you now have, the rotational pieces that you have out there, whether that's Jalen Walker, James Pierce, Leonard Floyd, you know, AK, all these different guys out there that you've brought in, there's now not one dependent guy that's like, hey, we need you to go out there and get 10 to 15 sacks this season. I think that's a big element of what this defense is going to be right now under Jeff Ulbrich, and pretty fluid for Leonard Floyd, a guy like him who's now been a veteran in this league, who's been there for a long time. You know, he's not the young Leonard Floyd he was when he was drafted. In fact, there's been a lot of comparisons for him and James Pierce Jr., just simply because of their size. They're very, very similar builds. And I think that Leonard Floyd has sort of taken on that mentorship role with a guy like him. And I think that's a big reason why the Falcons brought him in, just because of his veteran presence and all these young cats they've got on the defensive side. So I like where Leonard Floyd's at, and I think he likes where he's at this point, too.
Fantastic. All right, we're actually going to line up and play a game next week. I don't know what we look like and what we. How much do you think we're going to get to see? Because I think that's the thing we really are curious about this Falcons team. We know last season, Raheem Morris kind of hit anybody that was going to be in a rotation to see a lot of playing time during the preseason. Don't think it's going to be quite that way this year. These guys are going to play some, aren't they?
That's the million-dollar question, Sam. I mean, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on the field. I can't wait to see what's going to happen there. But if I had to guess at this point, I'm assuming it's going to be the Easton Stick Emory Jones show at this point. I don't think we're going to see a whole lot of Michael Penix Jr. and Kirk Cousins, for that matter, and really any of the starters. Now, I know that in the past, some injuries have bit this team in the butt, whether last year it was Braylon Trice. Again, I know that was some practices there, right. But I do think Raheem Morris has just shown with his history he is just not a fan of playing the starters in the preseason. So I hope that we get to see maybe one drive, maybe two drives of the starters play. I think we got one or two last year. I really want to see that happen because I do think there was a slight element of that missing when the regular season started last year. Those guys were not as fluid together. They hadn't had those game reps yet. As much as you want to say they get that experience in practice, you have to see what that looks like when the game starts. So I really hope we get a little bit of action before the regular season, but I wouldn't expect to see so much given what Raheem Morris has done in the past.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Listen, Miles, as always, we can't thank you enough. We're going to let you go, but we're not done with you. We're going to reach back out to you next weekend.
Hey, looking forward to it, guys. Can't wait.
Have a great week. Thank you, Miles Garrett.
Thanks a lot.
Fox 5. Appreciate it, buddy.
See y'all.
All right. Up next, yes, there is money flying through the air, and that's what I'm here for, let you know how you can grab some of it. A casting call, a fresh one, is up next. But if you want to beat me to it, go to Get Cast with Greg on X or 929thegame.com/castingcall to see the list. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg on this Saturday morning. This is one of those, when you hear him, he's a part of one of those seminal moments in show business in this country that you would, if you could get into a DeLorean and go back and be in the audience for that, when he comes out in Las Vegas in 1970 for the first time. He'd been done with his movie career. The Beatles lapped him. All the the British invasion came.
All those movies where he reached behind a tree and there just happened to be a guitar there, right? I remember those movies, but Elvis did something. You get ready to sing, he just reached behind a wall and there just happened to be a guitar.
And Anne Margaret, right? And a race car, and he did all those, and you know the Colonel put him into that, and then he did the 68 special, and I remember how to do this, and then him showing up for the first time in Vegas at the International Hotel that opening night was something special. That's one night I'd like to get a new DeLorean and be back. I'd like to get back into a DeLorean and go out to the theater. I don't know if it's Kodak Theater, but whatever it was, one where they had the Motown 25, where Michael and his brother got back together, where he did the famous, he did Billie Jean and did the moonwalk. Shea Stadium.
Yeah, Beatles. With the Beatles. Yep.
So there are these moments.
Would you
want to
be there?
I'd like to be on the field.
A lot of screaming, hollering girls.
I wouldn't want to be with there. I'd like to be on the field, like working.
I remember from seeing that. What is a boy? They just screaming and losing their minds.
So anyway, those are sort of moments there. Noelle, you were going to jump in here and say something.
It's funny you bring up like wanting to be there for the Imperial Open, because I actually want to be there the week before when Barbara had to fill in for that week before. Yeah.
Tell that story. I heard that story.
So there's a period, and it's so weird because about how Elvis's career ends, and he's supposed to do A Star Is Born with Barbara. He was supposed to have the role instead of Chris Christopherson,
and we didn't get it. Elvis looking like he looked at 42 and 77.
I know, right? And that's why I'm so disappointed I didn't get it, because that was going to be a train wreck.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so disappointed I didn't get it. But before that, there was a period where Elvis wasn't there yet. He wasn't contracted to be there. And so they kind of opened with a Barbara Streisand, a newly kind of rising Barbara Streisand.
Well, she had already done Funny Girl in 70.
She had, but she wasn't quite at the height
Right.
Okay. So it was interesting that she's like the lead-in to
Elvis.
That's
pretty good.
And then when he's leaving on his way out of Vegas, she kind of becomes Barbara.
You want to do Woodstock?
Oh, hell no.
Nah,
we were part.
That
I had a chance to go to
miserable.
Yeah,
actually.
It is. It really does. It looks, unless I was a roadie and I could stay on stage, there's no way I want to be out in that farmland.
And 99 sounds just as miserable, by the way, with all the
94 was the one we sent people to at 96 Rock. We sent some folks out to that one, and forget about it.
Yeah,
I think I wouldn't mind going to Watt Stacks. Now, ooh. Watt Stacks was all the Stacks out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the Stacks artists. At the time,
okay.
Which were like, you know, your Barcaves, like your Isaac Hayes, mm-hmm. Staple Singers, Albert King playing mm-hmm. blues. I mean, they did
there
a big concert out in L.A. That would be nice to have gone to that.
There was a concert here in Georgia. We've talked about it. The anniversary's happened here a couple times where they had all kinds of top stars. The Atlanta something, I look it up, but it was 100,000, folks or something like that. It was some crazy amount of people there, and all the top names of the day performed there. But
no
anyway,
Beatles on the rooftop?
Pardon?
No Beatles on the rooftop?
You're talking about their last one on Apple. First of all, I said America.
Okay,
if that
fair.
Was the case, I'd like
okay,
to be.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, no, but that's not a bad one.
Okay.
Well, I thought that was in New York, though, when they did
no,
that.
No, Apple Studios is in London.
Okay.
And they did the first,
okay.
their last show there. They just went up top of the, the place there. And they didn't know it was going to be their last performance, obviously. But yet, Billy Preston was there.
He was, indeed. Central Park, Diana Ross.
Okay, that's one. That's one.
I don't even want a ticket in the tree. I want to be in the tree. I don't even
want
a ticket.
You want to be at the windmaker, whatever it was that was making the wind that was blowing.
Exactly. See, exactly, Sam.
You got to have that from now on. You got to have that big windmaker.
There are those who will tell you they'd like to be in Folsom Prison when Johnny Cash performed.
Nah, I don't want to be in prison.
I'm just saying, being there for the show.
I'd catch him somewhere else. You're
not going for the songs, or you're going for the conversation that he's having with them folks.
Right, yeah, no.
You don't want nothing to do with that, huh? But the last one I was thinking of when you said the Beatles in London, I would like to have been a part of Live Aid, but the one in Wembley, not the one here in Philly.
Okay.
That had a little bit more interest. I just felt like that was more interesting than one, but again. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Go to the website, 92.9thegame.com, like I said, /casting call. You can see this list. This week, the 9, and went and forgot. It's string musicians, bodyguards, and teachers, among others needed for this week's casting call. I talked to shout out to Chaz. She is a casting director. She's with Set Life Casting. And when I called her to ask her questions, I had never spoken to her. I wanted to introduce myself, let her know, hey, I've been having you on the casting call the last few weeks. She had my number already programmed in there because she used to work with Bill Marinella.
Okay.
Who's the Cat in the Hat. And he was like the first guy who was actually on the casting call back in the day. Well, anyway, Chaz has got a little situation working where she's not hurting that much from the slowness of this industry here in town.
Okay, what's she figured out?
She's working on, I forgot how she put it, but she is basically doing a lot of vertical shorts, it's called. Vertical shorts. And she's doing those.
Why is it called vertical shorts?
I would mess up this description.
Okay,
but it's just,
don't mess it up.
Yeah, I don't want to mess it up. But it's basically the same thing as far as any other acting job or an extra job you would get. So it doesn't matter where it's going. It's a reputable piece of production, and she is on top of them. They got a new movie right now, though, called Baby. Multiple roles, everything from needing people to be press to bodyguards to crossing guards, the kids, patrons for an upscale restaurant scene. So those are all there. It's the first one on the breakdown. Set Life Casting doing a project called Baby. And once again, let me remind you guys here. I am the convenience store of broadcasting, meaning as long as I got a place here to talk about the casting call opportunities, I'm going to keep talking about it. 90-whatever% of you don't need this, but much like a convenience store, when you do need it, you know Greg's there.
There you go.
Right? You need y'all forgot to get the pumpkins or something for the meal? Come on down to the convenience store.
Like
between jobs, you need some extra cash, do an extra job.
Like a good neighbor.
Yeah, that's what I'm here for. And I'm going to continue to, and I'm happy to help because we still hear from people on a regular basis, Sam, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come up and talk to us, hey, man, I did this, you know. And they have dipped their toe into this industry, which, like I said, a little slow now, but it is permeated throughout the sport.
I don't know. I'm seeing stuff.
Well, see, I'm comparing it to last year.
Yeah.
Compared to last year, it's picking up. It really is.
I'm seeing things.
Hilton Casting, you're going to see that. They have needs for teachers, parents with cars, and middle school kids.
Okay.
Still looking for the band for Extras Casting in Atlanta. And Bill Marinella, spoke about him a minute ago, needing folks for an audience. You're going to get a paid audience member for a game show.
Okay.
So that is all going on this week in front of the camera. There's stuff behind the camera, starting off with Georgia.org. You guys give me a shout if you got any questions about any of this stuff. Greg.ClarksonOdyssey.com. And again, you can see the list up right now on GetCast with Greg on X. And we gave you the website a minute ago. Did you ever see American Graffiti?
I don't know if I saw the whole thing. I remember watching parts of it.
Yeah, it premiered today. I was just curious.
Okay.
Alice in Wonderland.
Did I see it?
That's when I saw that as a kid.
Yeah,
that kind of scared me. That whole Cheshire Cat thing.
Yeah,
I couldn't get past that.
Right,
and I think I saw it when I was like six, something like that. And it was one of them things, you know, as a kid, it stayed with. Like, you know, there's the famous one is the people who talk about when they saw the Wizard of Oz as a kid and them flying monkeys still stay with them.
That was me.
that's the fire
popping up out of, you know what I mean? You know, who would dare the great and powerful Oz? And, you know, smoke flying. And I'm like, yikes. It's just because that part was in color.
Well, that's true.
That was, which was a deal at the time.
No, you're absolutely right. It was a big deal. But you get me thinking about something when you brought that
What's
up.
Wrong?
I was thinking about the guard when they entered the Emerald City. And, by the way, the greatest actor in that movie was Frank Morgan. For those of you who don't know who Frank Morgan is, look it up. Dude played five characters in The Wizard of Oz. He played, in the beginning of the movie, he played the guy who, the guy who had the little traveling whatever where Dorothy ran away to, and he was there. It was like a circus something or whatever. She ran to his little trailer or whatever. There's him. He was the doorman. He was obviously the wizard. He was the carriage driver. And he was something else. I can't think of all of them. But when you entered into the, when they entered in, remember he had his hair kind of flipped around.
Remember that.
Dude, I saw that. I looked at it again this week. I said, no disrespect. It looked kind of like Pat McAfee. Now you think
thought?
Of take go back. I'm just saying.
Do that
it's kind of like a Pat. I love me some Pat McAfee, but that haircut and the way he had it ripped up on top there, blonde. I said
that.
It kind of looked like Pat McAfee.
That's mean.
Anyway, just like him. I said the hair part of it did.
Yeah.
Anyway, those things premiered this week. There was something else I was going to bring up to you.
What else?
Having
what
to
else?
Do
what?
With the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come back to me.
Something over at Emory called Camp Flicks. I don't know exactly what it, there was some signs about. I was like, that sounds interesting, something that they were having.
Tyler Perry's got something going on where they're trying to – listen, everything is expanding right now. People are utilizing technology in ways, and they're incorporating it into – like Tyler Perry never dipped his toe into reality TV before, or reality period, but he's doing so now. You have to pay attention to what is happening out there. And if you don't, you stand on your little – hill and cuss and spit and complain about how things are now versus the way they used to be.
Yeah.
You know, the ship's going to leave the dock and everybody be waving at you.
Right.
See ya.
Right.
That's true. Until I can figure out what this was I was going to bring up with you. I saw a site and I want to ask you about this.
What was that?
A site called Sports Focus. You ever heard of them? You ever go to there? They put these lists together here and different pieces of information that they believe is relevant, and then they make a list out of it. So they have all these different ones here, and they have this list that I wanted to bring up to you. I want to see how many of these people you know. So one of them, and this is, again, Sports Focus, MLB's most hated players of all time. All right?
Wow, most hated.
And they have different reasons. Like, they're all not for the same reason. So let's just start off with the gold standard. We'll say Ty Cobb. And underneath their name, they have what they're hated for. And so under Ty Cobb, it says racism and violence.
Okay.
The next guy next to this, according to this list, is A-Rod. And it says PEDs and ego.
Wow.
So this is why they're the most hated, according to this site. All right?
Wait, but that's nothing to do with the way they play.
They got nothing to do with it. I'm saying the most hated players all time in baseball.
All right.
So I gave you the first. Barry Bonds is on this list. Now, what would you, given what I've said, why would you think he's hated?
Because people felt like he.
I'll give him to you. Arrogance and steroids.
Well, true.
Okay. You know who's next? John Rocker. Infamous SI interview, which we know.
We know all about that.
This is another name on there. Jose Altuve. The face of Astro scandal.
Yeah, the scandal. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Carlos Correa goes back there. He still hears it. Yes, he does.
When he plays at different places.
Roger Clemens on this list. PEDs and intensity. He's hated for his intensity. That's what it says here. Albert Bell, anger issues, corked bat. Here's one. A.J. Pierzynski. Antagonizing behavior. And they got him in a Braves hat.
Yeah.
On this picture.
Yeah.
Here's one. I hadn't thought of him in a minute. Milton Bradley.
What did he do?
Constant confrontations, according to this site. Curt Schilling. Didn't leave it at that. We'll just move on. But this is the kind of thing that they have on there.
Yeah.
They threw on, you know, this site put, as far as Curt Schilling's, is politics and all that. So we'll just move on for that. But here's one. Getting to another list. They had the biggest hometown discount deals that became steals. And one of them on the list, in fact, is Ozzie Albies.
Okay.
$35 million, widely criticized. And Ozzie did a whole lot better than that. Another one is Ronald Acuna on there. $100 million before he got the MVP. Evan Longoria, he's on there. Signed extension after six games. So this, I'm just saying, this list of people on here, I'm trying to see if there's any more interesting ones on here. But there's this list. Unwritten rules. They have the best tense teammate rivalries over roles and the spotlight. And you start with Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter.
Okay.
So they have a list of all these. So these are all on there, and I just found them interesting. You can check them out. Sports Focus, and they're also up on Facebook, too. I guess they have lists on that. Having said all that, and speaking of baseball players, how'd you like the Hall of Fame ceremonies last week?
Very nice. Very nice. And, you know, posthumous, you know, for two of them, obviously,
right,
for Dave Parker and for Dick Allen.
I agree with you there. My second favorite leadoff hitter of all time going in, Ichiro.
Yeah.
But I still, it was reminded when I was watching that he is the only player, especially great player, who wore his first name on his uniform.
Yeah, they did that.
Who else had their first name on their uniform?
Yep. It was great seeing CC Sabathia and Billy Wagner. Obviously,
was that CC? You sure that was CC?
Yeah,
he left part of himself at home.
Yeah, I noticed that. We saw him at the HBCU All Star game. He was out there, and I saw him. I said, "Yeah."
Did he lose about 100 pounds?
Maybe so, but he's really trimmed down from his playing days. But Wagner, obviously, his story. Here's a guy that changed.
Yeah,
he's going from being a right hander to a left hander, and it just wasn't supposed to happen with this guy. It was not supposed to happen in just an incredible career. And he left money on the table.
Yeah,
his last season pitching in the Braves was a phenomenal season, and he just walked out the door.
Two things about Billy Wagner. One is, he is the truest definition of country strong I ever seen before when it comes to throwing.
Yeah.
And I bet he's had some moonshine.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm just saying I bet he does. I bet he knows somebody that does.
He probably knows somebody.
We got the champ coming up. The champ is on his way, Sam.
Champ is coming up in this coming hour. We're going to hear from Brian Norman Jr., the WBO welterweight champion, who is doing something very special for our young folks here in the area. That is coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. You stay with us. It is Sam. It is Greg. It is Noel, other side of the glass, on this first Saturday in September. Not September, August.
See, it ain't so easy running point, is it?
That's the game at 929thegame.com.